Welcome back, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Getting a little help from my friends today. That's each and every one of you joining our great conversation. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. And perhaps most importantly, when our tech goes a little haywire, we got Tom Paulswitz, my special guest co-host, also giving me a little help from my friends this afternoon. Thanks so much, Tom, for being with us. Folks, what do you think about the continuing resolution? Should Dems let the federal government shut down? Senator John Fetterman of Pennsylvania has been emphatic in his position that Democrats cannot let the government shut down. Tom and I, well, our position is, let it shut down. This is what people voted for. And Jeff from Superior, I'm looking at you, bud. You okay with the government shutting down? And oh yeah, by the way, did you happen to see the little provision that was tucked way in the weeds of the continuing resolution, Tom? Right. You want to tell the folks about it or should
I? Well, there's a couple in there. I'll let you jump on the one you're thinking of just to make sure we're on the same page.
Yeah, I think the most egregious little provision is this measure to essentially turn the clock off on the vote on the rule for the government funding bill, not the bill. It's a procedural vote to bring the CR up for a vote. And it basically says, like, no, there's no deadline anymore. It's this very kind of wonky thing. And it's like a loophole, if you will, fundamentally changes the rules of the Senate, especially when it comes to these continuing resolutions to continue federal funding. And what it actually then operates as is a potential black hole legally where Donald Trump, without Congress, could begin and maybe have a greater legal defense to defund all of these departments and shut things down. It looks like this ticky-tacky, oh, we got to have the CR bill voted on within these certain time periods. Oh, but no. It means the next one, for example, if they kick this one out, Schumer's been talking about a 30-day extension. The next time around, there's going to be this loophole where Trump could say, look, Article 3 judges and Supreme Court, I actually can defund all these departments. Congress, ipso facto, through this little technical bit, gave me permission to do
so. Because they've given me back that power or given it to me because that's what they decided to do. Yeah, but here's the thing, and that's why this is so weird, is because Donald Trump and his administration has been defunding every single department within the government. Outside, I mean, they're basically doing impoundment and they're not being held accountable to it. But the Republicans are still going through the charade of passing a continuing resolution. This is the part I don't understand. Like, you can't say that what you're doing is legal, but then need Congress to be able to do this other thing, which is because it's illegal. So I've never understood the Trump's administration to how they're working the courts. But I don't know if you just saw what came out. Very shortly, it came out probably about a half hour ago, the Trump administration is going to the Supreme Court about birthright citizenship. And they're not appealing the ruling about birthright citizenship. They're appealing that this is a universal injunction. So they're appealing the fact that these courts are able to create universal injunctions instead of just injunctions for the particular individual who is bringing the case. Yeah. And I was very curious to see what you had to say about that, Maggie, because it's an interesting legal, I guess, potentially loophole, but I just don't see that it makes any sense unless you want to do it for everyone else and you're going to battle these one at a time.
Yeah, what it does is it requires an enormous, if the Supreme Court bites on this, where, and this would fly in the face of decades of jurisprudence, the idea that if the federal government is taking action X and you file a suit, say, in the Eastern District of Wisconsin, which gets appealed up to the Seventh Circuit Appeals Court, which covers Wisconsin, Illinois, and Indiana. And the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals says, yes, we're going to give you this preliminary injunction to stop the federal government from doing X. The parties before that appeals court can say, we think this injunction should apply nationwide because it's effectively kind of like a class action argument. Plaintiffs that are similarly situated to us are also being harmed in all of these other jurisdictions and all of these other areas of the country. And courts have done so when it is a federal government action that has nationwide applicability.
Because it crosses all the states. It's like it's applicable to every single other lawsuit. Yes.
Correct.
Right.
Now, what the ordinary course would be is when you get one of those injunctions that's upheld by an appeals court that you don't like, you appeal the injunction itself on an emergency motion to the Supreme Court.
Yes.
They're not appealing on the merits.
No.
Is what you're saying, Tom. What they're appealing is that an injunction can have nationwide effect. And if they succeed in that argument, which is entirely novel, what they would require is for plaintiffs to fund and bring these lawsuits in every single potentially, I haven't read the argument about how narrowly they're trying to tailor their argument, but potentially in every single district court in the nation. So instead of two
and every single
lawsuits,
individual, potentially,
correct, you would maybe have to bring hundreds of these, which is, guess what? If you're teeing off against the federal government and you have to bring like 1,000 lawsuits and they have all of the lawyers in the federal government, like the federal government's probably going to win some of those and be able to do some pretty blatantly unconstitutional things because the people that are being harmed in your neighborhood may not actually have the shekels or the access to public interest advocacy lawyers to raise and file a lawsuit. It's literally saying, unless you're rich and can file lawsuits, we're going to do unconstitutional things to you because screw you.
Right. But here's the saving grace is we have Elon Musk looking for fraud, waste, and abuse.
And this
clearly would fall under waste, right? Because why spend all those tax dollars fighting these suits individually when they really fall under a universal injunction?
Do you mean like the $1.6 million Brad Schimmel spent?
Yes.
Unsuccessfully trying to defend some abortion restriction that the state had adopted? You know, like that kind of
I'm waiting for Musk to put a minus sign in Trump's golf on the Doge website.
Like maybe
right?
Or maybe on the KAED honor coins that Schimmel came up with a few years back.
Yes. Yep.
We're going to come back with more. I've got aldermanic candidate Dan Bauman joining us. Do you know that he's running against a guy that's been credibly accused of stalking a number of times? We're going to discuss with Tom and you and